Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's head out to the Dial Pad guest line where we got our very own John Dickinson. We're going to talk to JD about the schedule, the Golden State Warriors schedule, the NBA schedule. Also want to talk to him about some Niners. JD, you got the schedule, the Golden State Warriors schedule in front of you. What sticks out?
Well, and good to be with you guys. Nothing really. I mean, off the top, I mean, the opener for Chase Center is the first thing, 2 days in. You know, you're going to have a couple of teams playing on the 22nd, and then a lot of teams play on the 23rd. So the Warriors are actually going to be the final team to have their opener period going all the way to that third night of the season. I think it's funny. I always look at the teams that they only play three times. Memphis and Minnesota are the two teams that only come to Oracle Chase Center now one time. So that's a good thing because Memphis and Minnesota are not good watches. So I always like seeing that. The Warriors only go to Dallas and Denver one time. That's kind of a bummer, like seeing them play in Denver. But other than that, I mean, it's just, you know, Philly and Boston back-to-back on the road in January stands out. A road trip that doesn't look all that difficult, late November, December, stands out with Miami, Orlando, Atlanta, Charlotte, Chicago, a bunch of winnable games there, in theory. And then really it's just beyond that, the fact that, you know, the Warriors are always home right around the holidays, the night before Thanksgiving, and they love that home back-to-back right around Christmas. The Warriors play the 20th, 23rd, 25th, 27th, and 28th right around the holidays before going on the road. So just some early observations there on the schedule.
We also have the New Year's Eve game starting earlier this year. Wasn't last year Phoenix had like a regular game on New Year's Eve? And it got done at like 10 or 10:30, something like that. So they'll play San Antonio.
Yeah.
That's a 4 o'clock start.
I'll tell you another one. Whatever it is, the league loves, I don't know whether it gets out of place, but it's San Antonio and then Minnesota again. Like, why the Warriors go to San Antonio, and then their next game, they do have New Year's Day off in between to travel, but they play at San Antonio, at Minnesota, which was a back-to-back this past season in March, and then it also was that infamous back-to-back. Going back a couple of years when they had the 8 games in 11 days, and it was one of the real, you know, things that Steve Kerr complained about and the Warriors complained about needing to really change the schedule. So not a back-to-back, but a San Antonio-Minnesota, consecutive games. And then here's the other one is just, you know, they play at the Clippers January 10th, and then they go to Memphis, and then they come back home. Just a kind of a random outlier Memphis game on the road. There, which is interesting. A lot of real good opponents toward the end. Lakers, right. Clippers, Portland, yep. All stacked up there at the end. It's interesting. It's just a schedule.
I was looking at the last 4 games, JD, and I noticed that you didn't mention Sacramento. So we'll move off from that. But the first 3 games, Clippers, as you mentioned, an open Chase Center. And then at back-to-back at OKC, who I think will be better than what people think, on paper at least, if Chris Paul's there. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a nice young player, and you still have Steven Adams there and Gallinari. Back-to-back OKC in New Orleans. Like, we're just kicking it around. What if the Warriors open up 0-3? I mean, last year you laugh at it with the talent that they had, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that they can't start 0-3 to start the year.
No, although, again, Oklahoma City and New Orleans are 2 games. And by the way, they go to Oklahoma City, New Orleans twice early. That's another oddity. Oklahoma City, October 27th. They're back there November 9th, which is what, 2 weeks later. And then they go to New Orleans on the 28th, that back-to-back that you mentioned. They're back in New Orleans on the 17th of November. So they're going to be done with two trips to Oklahoma City and New Orleans by November the 17th, essentially. But, no, I look at that, Bonte, as two winnable games, yeah. Honestly. I look at it the other way. Okay. I look at it as, well, I wouldn't want to be playing at Denver and at Utah. I wouldn't want to be playing at the Lakers and, you know, and then Houston. You know what I mean? Right off the jump. So I actually look at the early going of the schedule. I think it looks really good. That Clippers game is going to be tough to open up Chase. Oklahoma City and New Orleans. But then you got Phoenix coming in. Right. San Antonio, that's kind of a 50-50 game at home. And then Charlotte is, you know, they're a ne'er-do-well of the Eastern Conference before you play Portland and Houston. So I actually kind of like that first maybe 2 weeks as an opportunity for the Warriors to hang at 500, because to me that's really what it's all about. It's about just kind of hanging at 500, hopefully a couple of games above, and then you start to build some cohesiveness as a team and get Klay Thompson back into the fold.
John Dickinson joining Matt Steinmetz, Bonte Hill, and Daryl the Guru Johnson, who's he'll be back tomorrow. He's taking a little personal day off or personal time off. I want to ask you about the other teams, obviously, in the Bay Area. 49ers had their first preseason game, JD. You've been down at Santa Clara a good bunch of this summer. Injuries seem to be the theme so far. Do you think that's fair, or people making maybe too much out of the injuries, considering we don't know whether certain players will be back by week one or not? And then I'm afraid to ask you about the game on Saturday or not, but if you want to weigh in on the game itself, go ahead.
Could not. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any real takeaway from the game other than, you know, Jalen Hurd, you know, made a couple flash plays. Deebo Samuel made a night. I mean, there really isn't anything to take away because so few guys played. And I thought Mullins was better than Beathard. You know, it seems like Kyle Shanahan tried to flip that narrative a little bit, even in his conference call yesterday, where, you know, he was talking about the interception that each guy thrown. He kind of had an excuse for Beathard. He said Mullins' pick was worse, and, you know, that's the old, you know, that's one of the themes coming into this thing, is who's going to win that backup quarterback battle, and does Kyle Shanahan, you know, favor C.J. Beathard, who he spent a third-round pick on, over the undrafted Nick Mullins? So there's a theme there. As far as the injuries, guys, I mean, really, let's see who's playing week one, but I think that the concern is all of these injuries have popped up, and sure, some guys might be ready, but they've popped up so frequently that it almost feels like it's just only a matter of time until, well, guys might be back for week one, but they're just going to get re-injured again. And, yeah. And look, some of them are freak injuries. Some of them are injuries that are just, you know, a cause of playing football. But the big takeaway for me off of that is there's no excuses for, you know, injuries. I've said this a couple of times. You know, Kyle Shanahan's going to be held by what the 49ers' record is this year. Do they win? Do they lose? And because there's been injuries, and some of that has been used as an excuse the last couple of years, it's not going to be used as an excuse this year. So they better figure it out and either keep guys as healthy as they can, which they're trying to do, or come up with some depth and some creativity to win. Because just being good enough to lose, which is basically what the 49ers have been under Kyle Shanahan in the games where Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't been playing, that's not going to be good enough anymore.
Oh, I'm with you there, JD, and you talked about all the injuries. The one, the positions that's not sexy, a lot of people don't like hearing about it, but the offensive line, you lose John Coleman, one more injury, then Weston Richburg, we don't know about him. The depth of the offensive line, which then affects Jimmy Garoppolo and how you protect him. Oh, and by the way, Jerick McKinnon had a PRP injection, and a buzz around Levi Saturday, JD, not a big buzz, but there are a couple people thinking Jerick McKinnon may not even get on the field for the 49ers.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's a problem. I mean, you mentioned the offensive line. I mean, Weston Richburg's still out. That's a problem. McKinnon being out, that's a problem. Trent Taylor, you know, with the Jones fracture, I mean, that's a problem. You know, I mean, and they can say they're hopeful he'll play week one, and maybe he does. To me, that's more likely he's coming back after the bye. So you're going to have to play maybe a quarter of the season or at least the first three games without Trent Taylor. Jimmy Garoppolo loves throwing the ball to Trent Taylor. So that's a problem. You know, all the defensive line guys banged up. That's a problem. Having Bosa and D Ford with injury issues, that's a problem. I mean, so it and again, you're talking about, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is supposed to have more weapons this year, right? He's supposed to be better protected this year, right? Well, if you've got issues with your receivers and you got issues with your offensive line, how is Jimmy Garoppolo going to play to the best of his ability? The pass rush was supposed to cover for a suspect secondary beyond Richard Sherman. They're banged up. So if they're not there to basically be the leaders of that defense to help maybe two of the weaker levels of that defense, that's a problem. So, look, it's week one. There's a month to go before the season. But as I always say to you, Steiny, it's not nothing. It's not nothing with all of these things kind of piling up. But there is still time for things to flip and them to get guys back and maybe be a better version of themselves than it looks like on August 12th.
John Dickinson joining us on 95.7 The Game, our NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball reporter. Hey, the Giants announced yesterday Will Clark's going to have his number 22 retired. Who's next on that list if you're in the Giants organization? Because, I'm a Jeff Kent guy, but it just doesn't look like that's going to happen. Where are we, do you think, after – who else is on that short list, you think?
Jeff Kent should be. I think if you're going to put Will Clark in, I mean, Will Clark was a really good player. If you're going to put Will Clark in, you probably need to strongly consider putting Jeff Kent in. The problem there, and not even really a problem, because I think Jeff Kent is worthy of that without a doubt when you look at his time from 97 to 2002 with the Giants, and they were a winning team every year. And he was one of the most productive hitters in baseball for that time. He was a better player than Will Clark as a Giant. I know that's not popular because Will Clark has there's a sentimental appeal to. I mean, Will Clark was my favorite player as a kid.
Same here.
Like if you're Bonte, we're about the same age. Like if you're in that mid 30s to upper 30s age group, Will Clark, and you were a Giants fan growing up, Will Clark was your guy. So there's a sentimental value to Will Clark that Jeff Kent just doesn't have because he was more of a prickly personality. But make no mistake, Jeff Kent, based on his production, absolutely deserves to have his number retired. But to answer your question a little bit more directly, Steiny, we might be talking beyond Kent. We start getting into a little bit of a gap until some of the guys that helped them win championships get up there. I mean, Bruce Bochy's one that I think.
Yeah, that's true. We didn't even mention him.
Matt Williams, honestly, on the text line. We got a Matt Williams. I forgot all about Matt Williams.
Yeah,
he was a great Giant.
You know what's crazy? He was. And you know what's crazy? And this is where Giants fans are going to be all over me for this one. Jeff Kent was a better freaking Giant than Matt Williams was. And I know they got traded for each other. And I mean, but look at the production between Kent's time with the Giants and Matt Williams. And again, Matt Williams went on, had a great career. Love Matt Williams as a player. Jeff Kent was a better Giant, period, point blank. They won more with him. He was more productive with him. So it should be Kent over Williams without a doubt in my mind. But, yeah, we might be starting to have to talk about Bochy's and Lincecum's and Bumgarner's and Posey's and guys like that here moving forward if you're not going to put a guy like Kent up there.
Thanks, JD. Appreciate it.
You got it, guys.
All right, that's John Dickinson. Notice he didn't have Matt Cain in there. But let's head over to Laney, find out what's happening on 95.7 The Game.
What's happening on The Game, brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. The NBA regular season schedule has been released. The Warriors officially opened their brand spanking new arena on Thursday, October 4th, against Kawhi and the Clippers. Some other notable scheduled dates, Warriors-Rockets on Christmas Day tips off at 2 o'clock, and Kevin Durant and the Nets' first trip to the Bay Area is March 12th. The 49ers got a W in their first preseason game, but not without adding to the laundry list of injured players. To talk about it all, NFL Network host Andrew Siciliano joins the Damon Bruce Show with Covey, Ratto, and Kolsky at 3:30, and former Niner guard Alex Boone at 4 o'clock. The Battle of the Bay begins tomorrow. The first two games are hosted by the Giants. A man who knows a little something about being an A and a Giant, Barry Zito, is going to join the guys at 3 o'clock. We are sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. Whether it's a major collision or just a scratch or a door ding, Chilton Auto Body's 11 convenient Bay Area locations are just a call or a click away. Stop in or schedule an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com. That's ChiltonAutoBody.com. I'm Elena Matsourakis on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game. We'll be right back.
Now back to Vontae, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Will Clark, his number 22, going to be retired by the Giants next year. Who's next on that list? Who's next on that Giants retirement list? Matt Williams? Lincecum? Jeff Kent? Bochy? Who else we got? Bumgarner? Posey? Who's next?
It's got to be Jeff Kent.
You know what, though? The six years, I think, hurt Kent.
But, man, look at the 6 years.
I know.
And what the team did when he got here. Sabian made the ballsy trade of trading away a fan favorite in Matt Williams. You bring in Jeff Kent, who went to Cal, who attended Cal Berkeley. Kind of was underachieving with the New York Mets. And he put those 6 years, Steiny, just looking at the numbers, those are six monster baseball seasons where the Giants did a lot of great things. Yeah, they came up short. But his last season with the Giants, I believe the Giants were wire to wire. Or excuse me, no, he wasn't there. He wasn't there. Ray Durham was there for that one. But his last season with the Giants was when they lost to the Angels. They had a great run, though, Steiny, a great run.
Can you really retire both Matt Williams and Jeff Kent? That's what the 925 says. They should do Matt Williams and Jeff Kent on the same day since they were traded for each other.
Absolutely. JD talked about Jeff Kent being a better Giant than Matt Williams. I don't know about that one. It's a fair take, and I understand where JD's coming from because his 6 years were that great. But Matt Williams, I mean, dude was on track to break Roger Maris's record.
Yeah.
I mean, he put up 38 bombs in 93. 34, 33, just a classic Giant, play both way, you know, defensively, offensively. Matt Williams was great. But I tweeted this out yesterday, Steiny. Does Jeff Kent need to kiss a little ass to get the respect he deserves?
I wouldn't. I loved his personality.
I loved it.
Who cares? The guy played hard, man. The guy didn't want to be friends with opponents. He made no secret he wasn't a Bonds fan. 510 says Jeff Kent didn't win any rings, so no jersey retirement. Well, Will Clark's got to deal with the same thing.
He didn't win any rings.
Exactly. He got his retired.
I wonder what the timing of that. You know, you're celebrating the 89 team that went to the World Series and won a pennant for the first time in 27 seasons. They go to the World Series, you get swept by the A's, Babe Ruth series. I mean, and then you almost take away the shine from that team by retiring Will Clark's number. Why not do it on a different day? Like, you got Kevin Mitchell there, who was the best Giant that season. He was the best Giant that season. Hum Baby's back, Roger Craig. You got Dave Dravecki there. You got Atlee Hammaker there. You got Mike. Like, it almost took away the shine from that 89 team by doing that. It made it almost as if it was a Will Clark day. I didn't like that, Steiny. That bugged me.
We got about 8 minutes before we check in with Grant Cohn of the Santa Rosa Press Democrat. He was at the 49ers Cowboys game on Saturday. Who's the next Giant that should get his number retired? 415 says Jeff Kent's number will never be retired in San Francisco. Jeff Kent didn't win. Jeff Kent wasn't as popular as those other guys. I know.
Who cares? Was Barry Bonds? I mean, he was popular because he hit all the home runs, but Barry Bonds is just as prickly as Jeff Kent, if not more so.
If Brandon Crawford gets his number retired, then
we have
eight other guys have to get their numbers retired too. Jeff Kent's certainly one of them.
We have a problem if Matt Cain and Brandon Crawford and Lincecum all get their numbers retired before, because Jeff Kent opened that park alongside Barry Bonds. He batted cleanup.
Yep.
And he put up, I mean, I keep saying it over. He was clutch, came up with some big hits, played the game the right way. Sure, he wasn't a great teammate. He fought with Bonds. He was man enough to challenge Bonds when everybody else was scared of Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
So
enjoy the game. Enjoy the game. That was one of my favorite Jeff Kents. Also, the washing the truck.
Yeah, that was interesting. That was interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Matt Williams, though, how was his number not retired? He played longer in San Francisco than Will Clark. Was traded. I remember the fallout with that.
Right.
But Matt Williams was a really, really good Giant.
Our guy Rott says Lincecum's got to be next. I bet you Bochy should get retired as soon as it's over.
They should do it in the last game of the season. Last home game of the year.
Well, but they're going to have playoffs after that. Maybe. So, you know, they,
maybe.
Do it. You know,
I see what
do
you're
it,
doing there.
They're not going to have home field, but do it game, game five of the World Series.
Here you go.
Back here.
Here you go. Yeah. By the way, you know, Guru and I were going at it about, you know, Guru saying being five losses back,
yeah,
five back in the loss column means nothing. Well, I'll tell you why it means something. The Giants have played 119 games this season. The Washington Nationals have played 117. The Cardinals have played 116. So if the Nationals win those two games, the Giants would be five back anyway.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right,
you can't make up losses like that. They got to hope other teams lose here. So Giants behind the eight ball here. It's almost like, I'm not going to say a must win against the A's, a must sweep. But you can't leave this homestand being under 500 on a nine-game homestand.
Well, it's also one of those things where, you know, even every day you look and it's three and a half, but there's six, seven teams above you. That's one worse day. I mean, you got to – they got to rip off eight in a row to get back in this thing. And the 925, shut up about Jeff Kent. SF don't care about Jeff Kent.
I disagree.
L.A. can retire his number.
I disagree.
We got some votes in here for Brian Wilson. No chance.
Robbie Thompson. All right, he was a fan favorite. But Robbie Thompson wasn't the best second baseman in China. Like, stop it with the Robbie Thompson. You're reaching. That's halftime Jay. You're reaching halftime Jay.
Kent played for the Dodgers, so that's why the Giants won't retire his number. Come on. What about Dusty Baker?
Exactly.
Dusty Baker.
What about Brett Butler, who got a big cheer yesterday? Brett Butler left the Giants for the Dodgers. Still gets love out here in the streets.
Exactly. Yeah, Jeff Kent. Jeff Kent's the guy. Jeff Kent's the guy that's got to go.
I mean, why?
He should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame, too.
Right. No, there's no doubt about that. Why do people care so much? Because when Pablo left and he said a couple things about the organization, and when he was basically about to re-sign with the Giants after getting released by DFA by Boston, a lot of, oh, no, you can't bring him back. He said bad things about the organization. What did he do on the baseball field? What did he do when it was money time? He produced, and that's what Jeff Kent did. I think it's a crime, actually. Now, the more and more I think about it, it's an absolute crime that Jeff Kent doesn't get a lot more love in San Francisco. The All-Star Games, the MVP Award, carried the Giants when Bonds was hurt for a big stretch. What was that, 2001 or maybe 2002? It's a crime that Jeff Kent doesn't get a lot more love because he said a couple bad things about the organization. Who gives a damn?
What did he say? I can't even remember.
I can't either.
I mean, how fun could it have been playing with Bonds? I mean, seriously.
I got no
problem with Jeff Kent.
Yeah,
I didn't realize, too, 17 years in the major leagues.
Dude, he had like 30 jacks as a 37-year-old. Look at his year as a 37-year-old. He's not in the Baseball Hall of Fame, let alone having his number retired in San Francisco.
I mean, what's incredible is his last year when he played that half, you know, he played with the Mets and Cleveland, then came to the Giants. I mean, he just, his career just exploded when he got to the Giants. He had 29 homers, knocked in 121. He had never knocked in more than 80 before that. Oh. And he'd never hit more than 20 home runs in a season. So, I mean, he came here and did some big time damage.
Big things. And think about this. Candlestick Park. Pitcher friendly, not a hitter's park.
Right.
And he still put up big time numbers. I'd have to see the home run splits to see what the exact averages were, but in his 6 years with the Giants, man, wow. 175 home runs, 689 RBI, 57 steals, batted nearly 300. Jeff Kent deserves love, man. If we're going to retire Will Clark, and that was the one thing I said, I have no problem with it. I got no, because as JD said, Will Clark was my favorite player because I was a lefty.
Right.
Just like Will Clark. I was a lefty. I loved Will Clark. But man, if you follow the Giants, you know that Jeff Kent had a big part of what they did in the late 90s and early 2000s. So if you do retire Will Clark, you open up the door for everybody else. And if you're going to throw Brandon Crawford at me, you better throw Jeff Kent at me as well.
From the 510, stick to basketball, Steinmetz. Jeff Kent wasn't liked here. Should that keep him from getting his jersey retired, though, if he deserves it? Just because he, and I don't necessarily think he wasn't liked. I think a lot of people liked him. I guess he said he was a Dodger fan when he left. He's always been a Dodger fan, something like that.
It's weak. That's weak.
The other thing is, I am convinced Kent wasn't on the juice. I don't think he was on the juice.
I don't either.
But that's just,
And you know what? It was a time where maybe everybody was on the juice. Who knows? Who cares? Bud Selig took a, he turned the corner. He turned his back when McGuire Sosa went on a whole run chase. We all knew that there was something going on there. Like, I don't care about the PEDs anymore.
I mean, Jeff Kent's been pretty adamant. If you're, listen, if you're somebody who didn't use in the steroid era, man, you can't shout it from the mountaintop loud enough. Like, I'm sorry, I just can't. Like, if I were in that era and I didn't use, I couldn't just shut my mouth.
No, I wouldn't.
I mean, I just couldn't. I wouldn't be able to do it. So, Jeff Kent, I want him in. I want him in the Hall of Fame, and I want him in the Giants retirement jersey ceremony.
There's also an argument that a lot of people say, well, Barry Bonds made Jeff Kent. He made Jeff Kent. Barry Bonds batted third, Jeff Kent batted fourth. The pressure was on Jeff Kent to drive in Barry Bonds, who walked a lot. The pressure was on Jeff Kent to drive in runs with two outs. He batted behind Barry Bonds. He got the pitcher's best stuff. They would walk Barry Bonds to face Jeff Kent, and Jeff Kent delivered again and again and again. So, again, Jeff Kent needs to have his number 21. I don't care how you if you disliked him. He did some great things in San Francisco. That was a great era of San Francisco Giants baseball, Stidey. You got to show Jeff Kent the love.
Our guy Steven in Vallejo says you have to take into account that Will Clark is what he's done for the organization in terms of sticking around afterwards and being a part of the organization. What about Richie Aurelia?
37 bombs 1 year.
Let's head to the dial pad guest line. Talk to Grant Cohn, Santa Rosa Press Democrat, also does work for the Associated Press. Going to talk to him about the Niners-Cowboys game Saturday and a bunch of other things. And one of the questions you always ask, Grant, about a preseason game, do you have any takeaways from the ball game Saturday?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I'm not going to go too big, but just from what I saw, I think this is a team that the defense is going to be a little bit better than the offense. And I say that because Trent Taylor's hurt, Jerick McKinnon's hurt, Weston Richburg's hurt, none of the wide receivers have stepped up, the swing tackle has a broken ankle, and Jimmy Garoppolo's coming off a torn ACL. So they could be a good offense, but there's more question marks than answers there. And I like what the defense did. I mean, obviously the starters weren't on the field, but Robert Saleh had a bunch of nice blitzes that worked. And I figure those will be a lot more effective when the big boys are on the field, Bosa and Ford and Buckner. So I think they actually might have the personnel to have a pretty special defense. So I think that's a good takeaway.
How about Samuel and Hurd? Did you like what they did?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's not too early to say they're the best wide receivers on the team. They've certainly been the most impressive and consistent wide receivers in camp and preseason. And I think what's interesting about that is they haven't gotten much playing time with Jimmy and the starters. So now that they've stepped up and given Shanahan what he's been looking for, now it's time to get those players on the field with Jimmy, especially this week in Denver with those joint practices. Let them get as much playing time with him as possible. Let them go against real starting cornerbacks to see if they can actually play, because they played well in this game against Dallas, but they were going against second and third stringers.
Yeah, I'm with you, Grant. I want to see Hurd and Samuel play with Jimmy Garoppolo and the starters. I think they should not play in the second half for the rest of the preseason. And you talk about the corners they'll go up against in Denver. Our guy Chris Harris, that would be a nice challenge for Jalen Hurd and Deebo Samuel. I think those guys are. But I want to ask you about Dante Pettis. Guru was fired up about Dante Pettis returning punts Saturday night, which is what he did well at Washington, breaking a NCAA record. But where's Dante Pettis at on the depth chart when it comes to wide receivers?
He's falling. I think he started off the offseason as the number one guy, and that didn't work for him. They sort of handed him the job like they handed a Kelly Witherspoon the number two cornerback job last year. And I think the Niners are trying to change their approach. They've dropped him down to the second team. He had to play in that game, which none of the other starters had to do. And I think they're trying to, like, light a fire under him. And I don't know if it's going to work. He's a very talented player. If football were a one-on-one sport, he'd be a Hall of Famer. He can really cross guys over like he's a basketball player. It's just that in an 11-on-11 setting, he seems a little intimidated by contact. He doesn't seem to have contact courage, which is a, you know, something you need in football. So I don't know if he's ever going to get it. He comes from a rich background. He played in the Pac-12. I don't know. I mean, you look at a guy like Deebo Samuel, didn't grow up rich, played in the SEC. I mean, that guy really has the aggression that you need from a wide receiver, and I don't know if Dante Pettis ever will. You can see the difference in those two guys right away.
Grant Cohn from the Santa Rosa Press Democrat joining us. He also works for and writes for the Associated Press. Mullins and Beathard, is it my imagination or does Kyle Shanahan kind of look to go out of his way to praise Beathard maybe a little more than Mullins?
You noticed that too. I wrote an article about that last season. I mean, he goes out of his way. After the game, it was yesterday on the conference call, he said after watching the tape, really, I didn't have a problem with C.J. Beathard's interception, but Nick Mullins was really egregious. And it's like, geez, I mean, part of me wants to roll my eyes, but the other part of me understands that Kyle Shanahan's a very honest person, and he has to know that Nick Mullins is better. I think he just understands that really no one's praising C.J. Beathard now for good reason, and that's his guy. So he's at least going to support him publicly, and I think that's probably what a good head coach would do.
That's funny. We were talking Saturday night, Grant, about that same situation where Kyle seems to go out of his way to really praise C.J. Beathard. But I got to think that backup quarterback job, there's no way C.J. Beathard can win that job. And my question to you is, will the 49ers, in that case, keep three quarterbacks on the roster? Because you have big decisions to make in a wide receiving room, also a tight end. Do you think the Niners enter the season with three quarterbacks on the roster?
I think Shanahan wants to. And when he praises C.J. Beathard, I think that's what he's basically doing, lobbying John Lynch to keep a third quarterback. And I think it actually might make sense. Until you see what Jimmy Garoppolo really is in this regular season, until you know that he's 100% back and got all the rust off of him and there's no lingering effects from this ACL surgery, you might want to keep three quarterbacks just in case. And then when Jimmy Garoppolo looks like himself, then you can cut C.J. Beathard to try to trade him, although there's nothing he did in that game a couple of nights ago that looked trade-worthy. So, yeah, I think Shanahan is trying to make the case that they should keep three quarterbacks, and maybe that's the right thing to do for 2 or 3 weeks.
Grant, if you were a 49er fan, what injury worries you the most of all the guys?
Yeah, D. Ford, big time, because that's an injury that's not going away, knee tendonitis. And they say they knew about it beforehand, but I'm sure the Kansas City Chiefs knew about it too, and they didn't want him. So on defense, it's D. Ford. And then on offense, I think it's Trent Taylor. Derek McKinnon may never play again. He might start the season on IR, but they have backups for him. They have guys who can do what he does. Trent Taylor's really important. He's really the only slot receiver on the team, and in camp, it was him and Kittle, the only guys that really had any chemistry with Jimmy Garoppolo. Now that's 50% gone for at least 2 or 3 weeks maybe to start the season. Defenses are really going to focus on Kittle. You can take one guy away, so who else is going to step up? It's going to have to be one of these rookies. So I think this Trent Taylor thing's a big deal.
Grant, who do we point the finger at when it comes to the signings of Weston Richburg, Jerick McKinnon, trading up to get C.J. Beathard, you know, Solomon Thomas? Who do we point the finger at? Because that was the buzz around Leaf. Not a big buzz, but we were talking. I was talking to other people. What you just said, Jerick McKinnon may never play for the 49ers? I mean, how big of a whiff is that?
You got to put it on, Kyle. Here's the difference between John Lynch and Trent Baalke. Trent Baalke was a scout GM. He got the players the scouts wanted, and he didn't really listen to the coaches. John Lynch comes in and tries to be the exact opposite. He's a coach's GM. He gives Kyle exactly what Kyle wants, and he pretty much has to because Kyle got hired first, and it's written into his contract that he has final say on personnel. So it's Kyle. And I think if anything leads to his failure in San Francisco, it's going to be his inability or ability to pick players. And that's sunk him in Washington. It was the same story with him and his dad. His dad was the GM. And Mike and Kyle have a lot of good ideas. They're very clever people, but they have shown through the last 10 years that they're just not scouts. And while they do have some picks every once in a while, like Debo and Jalen that hit, they also have a lot of misses because they're not spending the same amount of hours that actual scouts are. So, yeah, it's on Kyle.
Grant, what's the plan moving forward this preseason with Garoppolo?
He's going to play a little bit in game two, and then he'll probably play the entire first half of game three. And I wonder if that's even enough because of how sloppy the team looked in the first game, 18 penalties for 216 yards. He's coming off a serious injury. This is a team. And you know, it's funny. Kyle was saying the other day, he was philosophizing about the preseason. He was saying, boy, this stinks. I wish we didn't have any games. And maybe some teams could feel like that, but the Niners need as much preseason as possible. Jimmy Garoppolo needs as much preseason as possible. He should be playing really as much as possible in the second game, not just one drive, like the entire first quarter.
Why didn't Solomon Thomas play against the Dallas Cowboys?
That's a great question. I mean, if Dante Pettis has to play and prove himself, Solomon Thomas should have to play and prove himself as well. Only thing I can think of is that the Niners have so many injuries on the defensive line, and they're so thin, they don't want to risk anymore, and that's valid. But that's the only thing I can think of, because it's not like he's proven himself as a pass rusher in camp. He'll practice, and at the end of the day, the writers will come together and be like, did Solomon Thomas even practice today? Was he on the field? It's like, yeah, he did. It's the same story every year with him. He just doesn't ever really make a play, and he's stout against the run, but that's not why you drafted him with the third pick.
Grant, thank you so much for joining us. Really, really appreciate it.
Thanks, Donnie. Thanks, Monte.
All right, Grant. That's Grant Cohn, Santa Rosa Press Democrat, also the Associated Press.
Oh, we got some news, Steiny.
Give it to me.
95.7 The Game breaking news. Powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire.
According to USA Today reporter Mike Jones, an arbitrator has ruled against Raiders wide receiver Antonio Brown's grievance to wear his old helmet. Now Antonio Brown must decide if he's willing to play football with a new helmet he desperately does not want to wear.
You believe this?
I can't believe it.
You believe this?
I can't believe it. I can't. I can't believe it. It's a helmet we're talking about. A helmet.
There's no chance he retires, right?
No, he's not leaving that money on the table.
Come on.
He's not leaving. It's like $50 million and all the guarantees. You imagine if he did step away? That interview he did with Jeff Darlington way back when he was forcing his way out of Pittsburgh.
Right.
He goes, I don't need football. I don't need it anymore. My house is paid off. I have my kids. I've broken records already. I've made a lot of money. I don't need football.
Yeah, but the problem is. give it to me again.
That's a problem.
Yeah. The thing is, though, if you're a guy who makes $10 million and then $11 million and then $13 million and then $9 million, going to 0.00 is really, really hard to do. I mean, I can't imagine a guy would do that if he's got that money right sitting in front of him just because of a helmet.
And we always talk about side hustles.
Yeah,
I got a side hustle. Guru's got. We all have side hustles. What's his side hustle outside of football? Like, will people want him to endorse their product if he does retire? Like, would you want Antonio Brown being your pitch man when he's pulling all the, like, hey, you know, there's so many, like, you don't need football. Like, that kid, you're in the locker room. You're his teammate. You're Derek Carr, right? You're saying, I got this new shiny toy. I got Tyrell Williams to my left. I thought I was going to have Antonio Brown to my right. Like, what does that say? You're not getting reps with your star wide receiver. He's not practicing. Rookies are looking like, damn, if I make it, I could pull what Antonio Brown is pulling. This is just, it's just weird. And I almost think it may be a cover-up for his toe. Maybe a cover-up for his feet. Because Justin Gatlin, a longtime sprinter for USA, a USA sprinter, been to the Olympics. He said that injury, he was out for months.
Here's what I'll say about Antonio Brown. And he gets the benefit of the doubt until the regular season games start. But they didn't want this to happen. They knew there was a chance it would happen, that he'd be a distraction. But if he plays in week one and if he puts this behind him, that's what the Raiders expect to happen.
Right.
And I think that's why the Raiders took the chance on Antonio Brown and the Niners wanted nothing to do with him. But I just wonder if what's happening right now will have kind of a residual effect over the course of the season, like with the young players and with having a guy like, I just can't. And I get it, John Gruden's a character, but there's no way he's digging this.
No way.
There's no way he's digging this. And I got a feeling, what if this does linger into the regular season with Antonio Brown? Maybe he misses two out of the first three games or something like that.
Wow.
I mean, you
put the rat on the table earlier, and I've always thought about this with Antonio Brown. If they do win a football game and he has two catches for 27 yards, like Antonio Brown was complaining in Pittsburgh when he was getting 150 targets a season.
I know.
He was coming up with 100-plus catches, 15 touchdowns, and he was still finding something to cry about. Now what happens with Derek Carr, who doesn't have the mobility of a Ben Roethlisberger, who can't extend plays like Big Ben? that's going to be a problem. So you know what I'm taking away from this, Snarty? That this marriage is not going to be a long marriage. This is going to be a short stint for Antonio Brown in silver and black. I'll put the over-under. He plays no more than two seasons with the Oakland Raiders.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like four games.
Oh, no, I'm not going to go there yet. I'm not going to go there yet.
No. Now I want to say, you know, I'm excited to see him play in the regular season. I don't care about the preseason. And I want to see how much different he makes the Raiders. Because, again, it's that thing Goo always talks about. You know, Garoppolo has no receivers to throw to, so the 49ers aren't doing him any favors. And the Raiders went out and got Derek Carr, Antonio Brown. So in theory, Derek Carr should have a much, much better year than last year.
Josh Jacobs in the backfield. Jalen Richard's back. Offensive line has been upgraded, even though Richie Incognito's out for the first 2 weeks. And the Gabe Jackson injury is going to be big. Their high-priced right guard. But, yes, he does have weapons. And the one thing when I went up there to Raiders camp, Steiny, they said, man, it sucks not having Antonio Brown out here. But when he was, we see why he's so good. I mean, he torched everybody up there, including Gary Nkali, the former first-round pick out of Ohio State. So when he's on the field, he's a problem. He's a nightmare. He's a matchup nightmare. But, man, he's never on the field.
Jumping back to the Niners, and we were talking to Grant Cohn about Mullins and Beathard, and kind of hinted at Kyle Shanahan doesn't seem to be as big of a Mullins fan as Beathard. Here's what Kyle Shanahan said after the game about the 49er quarterbacks.
I thought both of them made some good plays, but I thought both of them had definitely, each one of them had one really bad play. I thought they threw a pick that was pretty easy to see. I think that the backside linebacker got it in zone, and I think it was CJ, a robber safety, came down and got him. They both should have saw. After that, I thought both of them played pretty well while under a lot of duress, too.
So there you go. He thought both of them made one big mistake.
Yeah. He's hard on his quarterbacks, Kyle Shanahan. Even with Garoppolo, he wouldn't give him a full praise when he went 5-0 in 2017. By the way, in the text line, 408, Derek Carr.
Yeah, I know you're going to get on this one.
Like, somebody tell me back there, does Derek Carr
I'll read it. 408, Derek Carr doesn't have more mobility than an old Ben Roethlisberger. Get this guy off the air.
I mean, we've been watching Ben Roethlisberger for years. He is hard to sack. He moves around the pocket well. He extends plays, which is what made Antonio Brown great half the time. Those broken plays when you're playing backyard football, when the play breaks down, Ben Roethlisberger can extend a play a lot better than Derek Carr. A lot better. Not even close.
Yeah, I want to say it was closer before Carr had the injury a couple years back. But, I mean, that's the other thing about Derek Carr. And Garoppolo. I throw him in the same boat. And I know Derek Carr fans say, well, at least Derek Carr did it for 1 year, and he did. And he's had some other years that were, what do you want to say, acceptable.
Right.
But the Raiders need Derek Carr to be better than he was the last couple of years if they want to take the next step. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. And the 49ers, they need to get some good quality quarterback play no matter who it's out of.
Oh, I'm with you.
I mean,
they have to be healthy. They have to. These guys are making money, big money. We're talking about top 10 money at their position. It's time to produce. You heard JD say it. There's no more excuses for either of these football teams.
That's a problem.
Yeah, it is a problem. Being healthy is a problem. Not having your quarterback, it's a problem. That's a problem.
How many that's a problems did we have from JD there?
Over or under 25.
That's a problem.
No, it was. No, it's. He was right, though. JD just went down the list. They got issues, the 49ers.
That's a problem.
Okay, we get it. By the way, I thought that was a Celtic shirt in there. What is that?
South Park.
Is that show still on?
Yeah.
Still funny? Not really?
It's like The Simpsons, right? The Simpsons, they still come on Sunday nights.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think so.
I was 8 years old when The Simpsons first aired on Fox. It's still running in 2019.
I haven't watched it in a while.
Yeah, I haven't watched it in a good 20 years.
When's Hard Knocks? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow night.
Here's my question. Do you think we're going to find out stuff on Hard Knocks that we didn't know? You know what I mean? Like, will we find out kind of where Antonio Brown's been?
Think the cameras will be on Antonio Brown?
Do you think he's given them an exclusive without the Raiders even knowing it?
I'll say this. I'll be shocked if the Hard Knock camera crew is not following Antonio Brown around. If they're not with Antonio Brown when a helmet ruling is going on or when he's complaining about the helmet at home or in his hotel. Like, is he even staying at the team hotel in Napa? There's no chance, right?
I don't know.
Like, does Antonio Brown have an Airbnb somewhere in Napa? It's a big house. It's wide.
Are they done? They're probably done up at Napa now, aren't they? No?
Not yet. I don't think so. Maybe this week. I'm not exactly sure about that. But did he even stay at the team hotel?
Yeah, I don't know. 415 says Derek Carr is more mobile, but Ben Roethlisberger is much harder to take down in turn. So he stiff arms dudes like running backs. Ben Roethlisberger is difficult to
He's a big boy. But, man, he makes so many plays with his legs. Extending plays, picking up key first downs. Like, Derek Carr, for his size, and you look at Derek Carr, right, and you think, okay, this guy can go run and get you a first down. But even, you know, after the leg injury where he suffered on Christmas Eve against the Colts a few years back, just even when he runs, it's like, he's a little slow. He's not picking up that big first down with his legs.
So let's take a look at what we got figured out today. You ready?
Let's do it.
We're going to get rid of the kale garden.
Yes.
At Oracle Park.
Hopefully.
And I guess we're good. But if you get rid of the kale garden, that means you're going to have to bring the fences in.
That sucks.
According to Pavlovich. Cornhole, Olympic sport?
No.
No?
No. I think we're 2-1 on that.
Is cornhole less of a sport than... Well, it is less of a sport than synchronized swimming, actually.
You think you could, like, sprain a shoulder by tossing a cornhole? Like,
tennis elbow. Absolutely, like tennis elbow, for sure. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. And then we also have figured out, don't want to bring the fences in.
Don't want to bring the fences in. Definitely don't want to do that. We got news here,
really?
Steiny. News.
Okay.
95.7 The Game Breaking News. Powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire.
Thanks to our rookie producer, Kyle Madsen. Can't spell names right on the phone list or on a call sheet, but he's getting there. It's getting there. Great tweet from Antonio Brown. He posted on IG, Steiny. While I disagree with the arbitrator's decision, I'm working on getting back to full health and looking forward to rejoining my teammates on the field. I'm excited about this season. Appreciate all the concerns about my feet. Hashtag always a fight.
Hope your birthday is booming.
All right. So it sounds like he's not going to retire.
No, he's not going to retire.
He's going to figure out the helmet. See, and, you know, that's... I'm willing to see what happens week one of the regular season. What are you laughing at?
It's already started. Like, I can't wait for Hard Knocks. I can't wait for week one Monday Night Football with the Raiders and the Broncos, Antonio Brown. Like, where is this going to go? Like, how is this going to end up?
Although, I mean, wasn't Marshawn Lynch a little bit like this last couple years?
He was.
And I don't know that greatly impacted their season
one way or the other.
Look, if he catches 9 balls for 175 yards week one and the Raiders win,
man,
they'll get over that first week and they'll get over having him create some problems and training camp.
A lot of Raider fans will be coming down our road if that happens too.
No, I think.
I
think they're both 500 teams. If they get a break or two.
By the way, did you see Mark Davis's comments
about the A's?
How they're.
I just saw the headline. I didn't want to click on.
All right, yeah, you should check that out. It was very, very interesting.
He's disappointed that the A's made decisions after the Raiders decided to move.
Right, basically.
510 says, be honest, you just can't wait to be a hater. No.
I want to see Antonio Brown shy.
I'd like to see the Raiders and the 49ers in the Super Bowl.
That would be
awesome. How about that?
That would be awesome.
How about that? It'd be great. It's just like the A's and the Giants. We didn't think the Giants were going to be anywhere near 500 at this
Speaking
point.
Of which, Bay Bridge series.
That's right. It's coming up tomorrow.
First 2 games tomorrow, 2 games next week.
Are you excited?
I think
excited,
I'm a little excited.
As Guru would say. Let's hope, he will. The Guru will be back here tomorrow, and he'll be bringing it to you. Coming up next, we got Ray Ratto. We got Ryan Covey. We got Matt Kolsky. What kind of guests they have? They got any guests? Yeah, they're going to have guests.
Rich Arroyo.
Oh, Barry Zito. Barry Zito, 3 o'clock. There it is. Thanks
Barry
for
Zito?
Listening, everybody. Zito. Yeah.
Zito.
Barry Zito.
That's a problem.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.